You know, as we get older, we experience more and more losses. I've had friends at times that have gotten a certain age, and they take their driver's license away. And that is such a big freedom that we have to go from one place to another. And the person said, the older we get, the more losses we experience is actually meant to be a gift to us. It's a reminder to us that this life is not all there is. There's another life coming. And that one's going to last forever. Bob and Stan were good buddies. They played baseball, they liked watching baseball, and they had done this through the years. The one time they're at a game together, and they make a vow to each other that whoever dies first needs to report back that if there's baseball in heaven. Well, time goes by, and Stan dies. And it doesn't take long, and he contacts Bob. He says, Bob, I've got good news and bad news about heaven. And Bob says, well, tell me the good news. And he said, you wouldn't believe the baseball up here. Joe DiMaggio's hitting the home runs miles long. It's unbelievable. We can play baseball day and night. And Bob's thinking, how could there be bad news? So he says, Stan, what's the bad news? He says, you're scheduled to pitch up here tomorrow night. We want to live in such a way that any day is a good day to meet our Maker. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of our lives and the design and purpose that you've created each of us with. We want you involved in our walking, our driving, our going to school, parenting children, loving our neighbor, and caring for our world. You have a plan for us individually and corporately as your church. Please guide and direct us with your steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's text is in Acts. There's two texts to it. It's Acts 1, 1 to 6, and Acts 1, 9 to 11. And I'm going to read them to you. First, Acts 1, 1 to 6. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom of Israel? Ernie, well done. I didn't even say you were going to do that. The second passage, Acts 1, 9 to 11. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men with white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. It can be hard to imagine pouring 3 years of your life into something, what you eat, sleep, dream about. Perdisha Felician was a Canadian woman who raced in the 110-meter hurdles. She raced for over a decade, and in 2004 won the Outdoor World Championship. She was a heavy favorite to win the gold medal the same year in the Olympics in Athens, Greece. Instead, she tripped over a hurdle and never won an Olympic medal, which is her lifetime goal of her career. It's hard to imagine putting such time and effort into something and coming up empty. Jesus' disciples, who have been following him over every hill and valley, have found themselves in the same predicament. They have left their careers and families to wander over the countryside because they believed that Jesus was the long-awaited-for Messiah. But at around year three, things are not going the way they thought. Jesus has gone from the height of popularity from the masses to now having to carefully plan their movements because of the incredible threat of the powerful religious establishment. Judas Iscariot, seems to see the writing on the wall, and cashes in for 30 pieces of silver, something he deeply regrets later. The disciples scatter as Jesus is arrested, beaten, falsely accused, sentenced, and crucified. 3 days pass from Jesus' burial in the tomb, and his followers are dumbfounded how nothing turned out like they had planned, hoped, and dreamed. Have you ever experienced times like this in your life? Maybe there are still questions there, hanging like a mist that never seems to dissipate, leaving you with confusion and uncertainty and a lack of clarity going forward. If so, your path then has been very similar to Jesus' earlier followers. But it also leaves us with a question, where do we go from here? Fortunately for all of humanity, Jesus' death was not the end of the story. In many ways, it feels more like the beginning of God's plan for our world. Jesus rises from the dead on Easter Sunday, which incredibly changes everything, both for Jesus' disciples and for us. For 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his followers, encouraging them for what is to come. It leads us to today's passage, where Jesus ascends from earth to heaven. As we pick up today's text in Acts 1, 1 and 2, Luke begins writing his second book in the New Testament, saying, "I wrote about all Jesus taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." The Gospels, the good news of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, testify to the things Jesus' followers saw him do and teach. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, his death, his resurrection, were not the end of his ministry and action within humanity. His ascension to the right hand of the Father is the continuation of what he began as Christ came to our world as a babe in the manger. Listen to these words from Philippians 2, 6 to 11. "Though he was God," referring to Jesus, "he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Could you imagine leaving your heavenly throne to take a humble position as a slave for the benefit of others, even to the point of giving up your own life? That was the plan that Jesus came to restore us from our broken relationship with God and each other. He came from heaven, and now he'll ascend and be reunited with the Father. Acts 1:3, after his sufferings, the beatings, mocking, whipping, crucifixion, with the sin of the world weighing upon him, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. He appeared to them for 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, the things Jesus has been teaching his disciples over the last 3 years start to make sense. The phrase, the kingdom of God, is used 4 times in Matthew, 14 times in Mark, 32 times in Luke, and twice in the book of John. Anthony Hokeman has described God's kingdom as the reign of God, dynamically active in human history through Jesus Christ, the purpose of which is the redemption of his people from sin and the demonic powers and the final establishment of the new heaven and new earth. Acts 1:4, while staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? Verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus' disciples have been eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. But when Jesus goes, the Holy Spirit will come and empower them for God's continued mission on the earth. The person of the Holy Spirit of God was to indwell the people of God and empower them to deal with both their sin in their lives and to share with boldness the good news of God to free our world from judgment and consequence of their sin. Do you remember the angel's message in Luke 2:10-11 to the shepherds at Jesus' birth? What's funny a lot of times is we look at Christmas and everything that's surrounding it from the nativity scene, but sometimes have a hard time making connection of Jesus the baby and Jesus the adult. Luke 2:10-11, to the shepherds at Jesus' birth. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Continuing on, Acts 1:6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you'll restore the kingdom of Israel? These Christ followers are still looking for the earthly physical deliverance over the Romans. And Jesus responds with a great commission. Go everywhere telling others the good news that Jesus saves. Acts 1:9-11. And as Jesus is saying these words, he's lifted up into the clouds out of their sight. As his followers were looking up, two men in white robes, angels, stood beside them. Then they said, why do you look up toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up will come the same way you have seen him go to heaven. And so we, the Christian church, as Christ's representatives on this earth, wait with anticipation for his return. There was a wealthy man before leaving on a long trip. He had contacted a contractor who had built many houses for him over the years. And so he contacted the contractor. He said, I want you to make the best house you've ever built. It doesn't matter what it costs. I want the best materials, and this is where I want the house, and I want you to build it. And when you're done, I want you to contact me, and I'll pay you in full for the whole cost. Well, the man left, and the contractor thought, you know what? I don't need to put all the highest qualities of things in this. I can cut some corners. I can pocket some of the money, and the house will still be nice. He completes the house, contacts the guy who wanted him to build it, and the man came and paid him. And he said, I have one more thing to say. He said, all these years, you have faithfully done what I've asked you to do in building this. The reason I wanted you to build this house was I wanted to give it to you. It's completely yours. Here is the land title to the deed. I think it would be best if we did not cut corners in this life with our relationships with God and others, because I think the results will show up in the life that is yet to come in heaven. I wonder what Jesus' followers are thinking as Jesus is ascending heavenward. Hey, where are you going? We were stunned at your crucifixion, but now that you've been resurrected from the dead, this is really going to get exciting. And then Jesus departs from them. This was the plan right from the beginning, that Jesus was to return to the Father. There are five direct impacts of Jesus' ascension into heaven. First, he's always with us. When Jesus walked this earth, he was only at one place at one time. When the third person of the Trinity, triune God, comes, the Holy Spirit will literally reside within the Christian believer. In essence, God will be with us wherever we go now. Years ago, we had two friends who had teenage sons, and sometimes moms can worry about their kids. And she said to us at one point, she said, when I thought about what was the darkest thing that could ever happen to my sons, the worst possible thing that you could imagine, she said, even there, God would be present. God is with us wherever we go now. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus promises to be with his followers until the end of the world. There is no place that we cannot go that God is not present. Secondly, Jesus is our advocate. He's representing us. In John 1:2, it says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who's truly righteous. Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, even when we ask God for forgiveness. But Jesus, the sinless one, is our advocate before the Heavenly Father. In Hebrews 7:24-25, it says, but because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. Thirdly, he intercedes for us. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray or how to act. But be encouraged. Jesus is interceding and praying for you. Listen to Jesus' prayer for us in John 17:20-23. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through this message. This is us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I'm in you. And may they be in us, so the world will believe you sent me. So they may be one as we are one. I'm in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Our love and unity in Christ is an example to a watching world. Fourthly, Jesus gives us power over sin, and it'll transform us from the inside out. There is no way that you are going to get better in your lives by just saying, I want to get better. Has anybody here, when we go through the fruit of the Spirit, I'm just going to stop at self-control. Has anybody here been able to find more self-control by just saying, I need more self-control, I want more self-control? We can't change the fact that we have to drive by Tim Hortons on our way to work and that they have chocolate-covered donuts. That's not our fault. We have no way to create the gifts of the Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:10-11, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give your life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Just as Christ was raised, so those who believe in him will be raised from death to life. That's us. When it talks about in Corinthians that we don't grieve as those who have no hope, it's because of this. That the same one who had the power to raise Jesus will raise each of us. Fifthly, Jesus promises to prepare a place for us. John 14:1-3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. For there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I wouldn't have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you, so that you will always be with me wherever I am. Isn't this a great message for us today? Don't let your heart be troubled. What are the things we fear? What are the things we worry about today? Concerns about money and finances, jobs and security, the brokenness that has touched us and those close to us because of sickness, because of worry, because of children, because of death. Why should we not be troubled? Because Jesus is greater than all these challenges and disappointments and hurts. Philip Yancey said, in the end, it'll all work out. And if it's not working out, it's because it's not the end. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. So do all you can to love God, to love your neighbor, to love other Christians, to love your families, living in such a way that you care about the things of God in both this life and the next. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful that you have ascended into heaven in your rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You intercede on our behalf. You are always with us. You give us strength and prepare a place for us. Give us the courage and strength to live like you are the most important one in our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Should have played it in D. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. And like a blind man that God gave back sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness and no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. For I was a fool to wander astray. For straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, I saw the light. I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Thank you and have a great week.
Oh, not yet, Jim. You cannot have a great week yet. You can be seated. I'm going to do a couple announcements, benediction, and then Jim will lead us in one more song, and then you can leave. Just a couple things. One, the picnic next week, it's great to know who's coming or how many people allows us to buy all the extra foods and things. And so if you're planning to come and haven't signed up yet, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. The other thing, again, I want you to pay notice to, when you walk out, you'll see a big billboard back there with a whole bunch of colored papers on it. And so people can take a piece of paper and donate things for Summer Jam that's coming up in August, our children's program. Have you ever thought that it was a good thing that Jesus ascended? Like, you think of Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus gets sick, and then Jesus stays away long enough for him to die, and then Jesus' disciples come where Mary and Martha are, and I think it was Martha's words were, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I think that's how we think sometimes. If Jesus would have just been here in this situation, it wouldn't have played out that way. But I've got good news. Now, instead of Jesus just being in Judea and Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit resides in each of our lives. God is with us. And I want to say at times, for us, even faith-wise, don't be discouraged if someone around you is not doing well health-wise or whatever. Pray for them. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come. One of the things that we've said is, if you don't pray, you'll have answered prayers equaling zero. But when we do pray, we actually see things happen at times. And so let me encourage you today that wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, it could even be people, friends at school, it could even be people you work with that are going through great difficulty. What's stopping the Holy Spirit from giving you wisdom into their lives and in their situations? As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that it was a good day when Jesus ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father.
Praise Jesus.
And next Sunday is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes just like Jesus promised he would. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Jim.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold on me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame, when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul, I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light, when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart, with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me.
Now have a good weekend. day.